SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And we arrive at the weekend with a another steward controversy. I just don't know. I don't know what to say in terms of rationalizing and you know, putting a reasonable spin or explanation on the way races get adjudicated when you have a day like yesterday here at Saratoga. It just infuriates players. And if Chuck Simon and I have been talking this morning, actually, about it, and you had three different races within 2 hours of each other, the 5th, the 9th, and the 10th here at Saratoga. And I only saw the 5th live because I was getting ready for the gala last night at the Holiday Inn. We had the Captain CHS Unbridled Affair, and it was wonderful, and I was absolutely just tickled to have been asked to handle MC duties, and we had just so much fun. Wonderful gifts and items that went in silent auction and then live auction, and honoring the founders, Bill and Ann Long, and West Point. Tom Bellhouse representing West Point, and table full of their people, including the youngsters, the youth auxiliary, the next wave, including T.L. Albertrani and Joe Migliori and more, and the featured horse, Mind Your Biscuits, the Summers team, Patriarch Scott, Dan and Chad, and table full of guests, including Anthony Stabile, and really a fun atmosphere, a beautiful, beautiful painting of Mind Your Biscuits, raised a bunch of money as Mr. Summers kept raising his hand. And it was interesting. Usually it's kind of, when they sell that painting, it's usually, you know, goes to the honored, you know, featured team. But there was real bidding that drove the thing. $6,000 it raised, which was really nice, and a bunch of other. There was so much going on, as I hinted yesterday in preparation. But anyway, as we were getting ready for it, couldn't watch the late couple of races, and then, you know, saw the conflagration, the brush fire that resulted. The ninth race, the feature, the Morrissey, you can understand. I don't have any problem. Celtic Chaos got shut off. That's the way it goes. It's Luis Saez. Luis Saez has no obligation to leave the rail open for Celtic Chaos. I'm sorry. For those that are annoyed about that one, that's a judgment call, and that, you know, that it there wasn't a lot of room to begin with, and good for Luis Saez for holding his ground. That one, you know, that you're going to get. The two races that really are just, you have no way to look at the 5th and look at the 10th and understand a decision. And the 10th, it was even further mitigated by the fact that it's two-year-olds, which we'll get to. But the 5th, Brimstone, in a basically a broken field run, if this was football, and Brimstone comes out under Arad Ortiz and interferes and herds top of the page. And Brother Jose. Meanwhile, Imperator, you know, who also, you know, was kind of caught in the middle of everything, dives inside. But the whole way that this then gets a no call, you say to yourself, how can this horse not be taken down? And you move on from that. And then you get to the nightcap where 2 2-year-olds, super simple, for Pletcher Rapoli Velasquez and, or for Aspison Winchell and Santana, and Guacamole for Rapoli Pletcher and Johnny. They're 2-year-olds. They're racing. You know, they got a horse in front that's tiring, and they both kind of come off together, and they finish together. And did Super Simple have to, you know, drift out a little bit? Yeah, but Super Simple was also in the process of trying to stay clear from the tiring leader, that quiet company under Bravo. So they're 2-year-olds. Guacamole's making a debut. Super Simple, I think, was making a second start. And frankly, they were pretty professional, all things considered. To take Super Simple down in that, I mean, to penalize the connections and the bettors in that case, and Super Simple was a price, too. It was going to be a $15 horse. So if you, you know, shouldn't make that part of the discussion, per se, but it has got to be really maddening to people that bet at 7-1 and had $16, you know, ripped out of their pocket. This one made absolutely no sense. You want to let riders ride and horses run. And in view, you know, what makes it more egregious is the fact that you didn't do anything in the fifth. So, I mean, this goes on and on and on, and it drives everybody crazy. And there's got to be just consistency. You know what? Even if the calls aren't going to necessarily be completely viewed favorably or understood, at least be consistent. Don't take either of them. Don't take either down, or take both down. But, you know, the herding, there's not degrees. I mean, I guess there's minor elements, going a half a path and some race riding here and there, or just, you know, just horses going at each other. But if you're taking down the winner in the nightcap, well, then you have to take down the winner in the fifth. So these just, and listen, the stewards, no one's saying the job isn't hard and, you know, and challenging in a lot of circumstances, but geez. And it just leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. It just disgusts everybody. Consistent. In fact, Mike Welsh may or may not be able to join us late in the show because there's turf works today, and of course with the weather and the horses, you know, waiting to get a better opportunity to work. This morning should be very, very busy. Mike expects a rash of turf works today, so he'll try. But he came out yesterday, and he wasn't alone. Obviously, Dave Grenig also. You know, Dave was shaking his head after the fifth. I didn't even notice what Dave had to say after the tenth. So All right, not going to spend an inordinate amount of time on this, but it is it is tough to swallow on a too regular basis. Let's turn our attention to what should be a terrific weekend, and it's really a 3-day weekend when it comes to the 3-year-olds. Today, the Curlin and Hofburg making his return. Last seen, of course, with a good third in the Belmont Stakes. And Hofburg down on the rail facing 5. That starts the 3-year-old action. Then tomorrow, the Jim Dandy. A pretty familiar group of 5, Flame Away Tenfold, Reride, Sporting Chance, and Vino Rosso. And then on Sunday, the Haskell. And the field came together yesterday down in Oceanport. We will talk to Frank Miramati, the man of 1,000 pizzas, a man of 1,000 voices. Frank will join us in hour 2. Looking forward, as always, the field of 7, and pretty much everybody that had been rumored or had been considered for the Haskell, they dropped the slip. Lone Sailor on the rail for Tom Amos and Joe Bravo, and Joe Bravo gets aboard for the first time. Joe Bravo really fits this horse. Really fits this horse, and this is a Tom Amos even said yesterday to Frank Amos, with the press conference, was the first visitor, and he said, having the opportunity to ride Joe on Lone Sailor, look for a ground-saving inside-outside trip from Joe Bravo, and Lone Sailor should benefit and should come running. He's been a little maddening. He's got a head, a neck, and a nose loss. Unbelievable. Head loss in the street sense, the gotta go. Neck loss in the Louisiana Derby, of course, to Noble Indy, and the nose loss to Core Beliefs. So, Lone Sailor, trying to get over the top in a high-level spot. And he's certainly got more than just Core Beliefs to deal with here, which we'll get to. Navy Commander, Butchie Reed. Butchie with a nice win here in New York yesterday. Navy Commander out of the wire-to-wire Long Branch win. Roaming Union, you knew this was happening based on Kelly Breen, even mentioning ahead of the Pegasus in June when we were down at Monmouth. He said he had designs, George Hall, designs on the Haskell. Core Beliefs off the Ohio Derby win. Bravazo, D-Wayne, of course, he runs Saturday with Sporting Chance. Good Magic starts his second half off the absolutely gripping Preakness and Derby versus Justify. And Golden Brown did commit. I was a little surprised that Pat McBurney went ahead with the Jersey Bred. So 2 years in a row. Last year, of course, Irish War Cry. Jersey Bred's part of the, and actually I didn't, is Drazen's horse too, right? So 3 years in a row there's been a Jersey Bred in the Haskell. Kind of cool. So field of 7, and we'll talk to Frank. In fact, he just texted me, and a terrific, terrific slate. Lots of good allowance action early, and then the Oceanport starts the stakes sequence, the grade 3 on the grass. Turf should be perfect down there, too. They've had the rain, and that rain, by the way, finally out of the area, out of the Northeast. Mile and an eighth Monmouth Cup as well. Got some familiar names. Doug Anderson shows up with the Cornhusker winner. How about that? The streaking, remembering Rita. Paige McKenney, the venerable Paige McKenney, and more. The matchmaker, the long-running and unique race for fillies and mares now. Used to be, I think at one time it was just, wasn't it? I think it was a three-year-old race way back when. Mile and an eighth on the grass, of course, and the Molly Pitcher for the girls. Really a nice, nice card. The Wolf Hill, part of the match series for the turf sprint division for the match run. And that'll leave just the Laurel Dash after they run the Wolf Hill. Really good. In addition to the Monmouth conversation, Scully will be here to do some handicapping too. We'll talk to Scully here in hour one. Jay Pridman, by the way, is going to start us off after this break. We'll talk to Jay. First conversation since the Del Mar preview, and there's lots for Jay to follow up on, including, of course, first and foremost, we'll get his final thoughts, at least for now, about Justify and the retirement. Then we'll dive into some Del Mar action, particularly with the two-year-olds, a lot of the two-year-olds Jay wrote about in his advance. A lot of those chickens coming home to roost. The very nice parade of two-year-olds that have been coming out steadily. And, of course, chasing tomorrow, the American Pharoah sister in the first at Old Del Mar. Tom Quigley will do the West Coast thing with us as well, and Hammer. So each hour we'll have one Del Mar conversation. DeRosa will be through an hour or two. Scully, DeRosa, Miramati, Quigley, Hammer, Welch, maybe, and Prep. There you go. That's it. Yeah, that's the show. Del Mar, I got to say, I haven't even really looked at Saratoga for Sunday because I concentrated on Monmouth and then pulled together the Del Mar card for Sunday. Not to take away from Fast Times on the Jersey Shore, but if you haven't looked at Del Mar's Sunday card, terrific. It's early on, the third's got a very good 7-furlong filly and mare allowance, including Mandela for LNJ Foxwoods, that 4-year-old Tappet filly. Animity. And Life's Blessing is back, too. Really the kind of underperforming, frankly, the Indian Blessing daughter. But that's a good group. Then there's Maiden Races, two Maiden Races. There's the Grade 1 Clement Hirsch. Yeah, Bernina Star, Unique Bella, La Force, Turkish Tabby, Shenandoah Queen, Yvetzi for Sadler. So they rounded up five to face Unique Bella. Then 2-year-old colts, mostly firsters, some pedigrees on display there. Then another allowance, and then the steak with soy fat, and oh my God, on and on, just terrific. Actually, take that back. Soy fat is on Saturday. The Fleet Treat is on Sunday. It is a dynamite card Sunday at Del Mar. Jay Pridman gets us going. James Scully, Nick Tamaro's traveling to Del Mar, so no Nick today. Back after this with Jay Pridman.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses, we build racehorses.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Not let Justify go, but, you know, the conversation you probably just heard, if you were listening to the replay and you caught, you know, the last half hour with Bob Baffert, and they, Jay, we'll let Jay flesh it out as he joins us now, Jay Pribben of the Daily Racing Form, but there was no great scheme to gallop Justify after the Belmont and then pretend that there was a problem. There was a problem, and it's just remarkable. But Jay Pribben, good morning.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Excellent, Jay. We're off and running both coasts, and we talked before Del Mar started, and gosh, a lot has happened since then.
Yes, been some good racing and some curious stewards' calls on both coasts, and and Triple Crown winner sailed off into the sunset.
Let's start with that, Jay. And you know, you were monitoring, and you, even when we talked before the Del Mar opening 10 days ago, 12 days ago, the hint and the handwriting was, you know, sort of on the wall, it seemed.
Well, like I said, I mean, it wasn't hard to see where the story was headed. When you look at the fact that he had a minor injury, that, you know, a horse could come back from and race on eventually, but the clock was ticking in terms of getting him, you know, if they wanted to get him back and run him one time before the Breeders' Cup, which is known to be, or was to be, his his final career start. And then when you start dealing with an issue that came up when he was galloping at Santa Anita, they waited a few days and then galloped anew when it came back. They had to give him even more time. And at that point, it's like, well, what, you know, what's the risk reward when, you know, when his value is so extremely high? It's like, at that point, you know, what are you doing? So it was like you say, the handwriting was on the wall. You could see this coming pretty clearly for a couple of weeks.
Talked to Bob Baffert yesterday. He was stoic, you know, and obviously disappointed. What's the summary, Jay? The summary judgment, as it were. You know, the story will look different as time passes, but you know, what's your overview basically of what we saw here? Because some people seem to be struggling to interpret what this horse did, where he fits in racing history.
Well, he was here for a good time and not for a long time. That's the career of Justify. I mean, obviously he's only one of 13 Triple Crown winners. He is the first horse since 1882 who won the Derby without racing at two. He's the only Triple Crown winner who did not race at two, and he went from an unstarted maiden to a Triple Crown winner in 3.5 months. That's a remarkable achievement. You know, where he's going to stand in racing history, I think it's too soon to judge. I think it's all pretty raw right now because, you know, one of the things about his campaign or career, whatever you want to call it, compared to other Triple Crown winners or most other horses that people followed, is that, you know, he kind of seemingly came out of nowhere in terms of to the general public and to most racing fans, because, I mean, he didn't even make his first start until mid-February. So it wasn't like, even with American Pharoah, who missed the Breeders' Cup with an injury, he was still a known quantity. He was a two-year-old champion and had won a couple of grade ones as a two-year-old and was well-watched on the comeback trail in anticipation of his first start at three. And then he went on from there and won the Triple Crown and, of course, came back and raced three times subsequent to that, including a win against older horses in the Breeders' Classic. And so there wasn't really the same groundswell of emotional investment in Justify, because I dare say most people didn't even, you know about him till after his debut. And even still, I mean, it wasn't until maybe the Santa Anita Derby when he picked up a lot of other people's heads and realized, boy, this is really a serious horse here. So, and then now he's gone. You know, it's like he came, it was like a comet, you know, came and went. So I just think there's just such a different flavor to this horse's career, and those are some of the things that I think make it so different from most of the other horses that people have become, you know, that have been popular, because he just was here and gone so quickly, and that's why I think it's a hard thing to put into perspective. I mean, those are among the reasons why it's harder, I think, for people to maybe warm up to him as much as others, and I get that. I mean, it would have been nice to see him continue on, but you know, until the economic realities of this sport change, and I don't know if they ever will, where you know, money is no object in terms of people buying horses at auction for prices that cumulatively they're not going to make back on the racetrack. I mean, they're almost treated in some ways like pieces of art. It's like, what's the value you can put on this? Well, whatever you think it is, it's worth. There's a lot more of what this sport or industry is horse breeding, not horse racing. And that's where the money is. So when you have, you know, tens of millions of dollars in value in a horse like this, based on what he's accomplished, I mean, that weighs heavily on decisions.
Agreed. And there's a factor that I keep repeating in this that made him a little different from the most prominent Triple Crown storylines the last handful of years between California Chrome and American Pharoah. A fold California Chrome in who did not have a fashionable pedigree and stayed around to enhance his reputation and, you know, kind of build more interest and acknowledgement of what kind of a horse he was. Ahmed Zayed had made a deal with American Pharoah as a two-year-old, and so there were incentives to make sure to keep him through the three-year-old season, and Pioneer of the Nile still, you know, establishing his stallion credentials. This is a son of Scat Daddy who's dead, who is widely regarded on both, on any continent, as a sire that was becoming as important as Tappet. And that part of it, Jay, to me, is a huge element in this.
Sure. That's what we've talked about that when I was on with you the day before the meet started. That,
yeah.
That's a huge aspect of this. He's clearly the most successful son of a stallion who's no longer with us. That makes him incredibly valuable.
Well, it was, to me, it was an incredible thrill, Jay. And maybe it's because I had the luck of being out there for start two and three, and then, of course, four, five, and six. But I'm mystified by the divisiveness and the disdain that is out there in the miasma.
I mean, you know, That's I've just come to learn that just comes with the territory. Everybody, there's always going to be an element of people who hate something about something. That's just the way it is. But I think a lot of it with this horse is just born of frustration. I think people want to see more, and that's the core reason that I think some people are aggravated or frustrated by what's gone on with him. Is because, you know, he only ran six times in 3.5 months. They'd like to see more of him, and, you know, I would too, but if I have somebody dangling life-changing money in front of me, it might, you know, affect how I handle them as well. You know, it's something we talked about when I was on with you a week and a half ago. It's like I'd like to see people who are in the similar position saying, "Yeah, you know what? I don't really need all that money. I'm gonna raise." It's easy. It's a lot easier to do when you're not invested literally in the horse, and that's the economic reality of the sport that we love. I mean, there's big money out there, and, you know, with WinStar especially, I mean, they run it as, I mean, it's clear they run this as, you know, they're involved. I mean, look at all the stallions they have, but they run it as a business. That's their the way they approach this.
Sure.
I mean, it is, and when you get a chance, you know, a horse like this covers up an awful lot of mistakes.
Yep.
Not that they make many, but this buys you a big cushion.
Absolutely. And money off the table and all those kinds of, you know, all those kinds of things. I mean, practical joke. Even somebody like a Seth Klarman has to, Charlotte Weber has talked about this with me on the air, that you can't just bleed money. You have to, and people don't see the leaky bucket, we used to call it at Procter & Gamble. There's always some things leaking out the bottom, so you got to keep filling up on top. Well, the pipeline is certainly, when it comes to the two-year-olds, Jay, as we talked as part of the Del Mar preview, the two-year-olds, that stoke imagination. And I thought that there was an interesting harmony, I said to Baffert yesterday, an interesting harmony that the sister of American Pharoah shows up tomorrow.
Right. Chasing Yesterday is going to make her her career debut in the first race tomorrow at Del Mar. She's a half sister to American Pharoah. She's by Tappet. American Pharoah is by Pioneer of the Nile. The breeder, Summerland Farm, kept her. They bred her. They didn't sell her. They're going to race her. And she drew the outside post. And Mike Smith is going to ride her. So it'll be fun to see her get her career started, and we've already seen some really nice fillies win just the first week and a half of the meet here. With Baffert had one last weekend, Mother Mother, and then on opening day, Hollendorfer had Brill, Medaglia d'Oro filly, cost $1 million as a yearling, and both of those fillies won like top prospects and are scheduled to come back at the end of the meet in the Del Mar Debutante, and the Colts, pretty loaded race for Colts on Sunday here. So it's always, this is a fun time of year on both coasts, because you start seeing all the two-year-olds start, the top two-year-olds with pedigrees, and start coming out, and it's fun to see the new prospects.
Baffert yesterday noted that physically, chasing yesterday doesn't really have the same profile and the same confirmation that that Pharaoh did, and that, you know, doesn't necessarily mean all that much, but it could be an interesting factor that, you know, they're not. We certainly learned post Barbaro that those siblings, it's a challenge. So we'll see. You know, one horse we should talk about, because I had Drayden Van Dyke on, and we went through, you know, what is for him really an embarrassment of riches. He's getting a lot of these hot 2 year olds, including Roaten.
Right, Roaten for Hollendorfer. He also rode Brill on opening day. He's in good with that barn. He's obviously good, and you know, with Baffert, he works a lot of his horses and rides a lot of horses for him. And he's gotten in good now with Sadler's barn. He won on Catalina Cruiser, and I think he's one of the top candidates to replace the injured Victor Espinoza on Accelerate. So he's, you know, his career is ascending. I mean, he was an Eclipse Award winning apprentice a few years ago, but, you know, for a guy who's as young as he is, he's really, really mature. He handles himself really well. I thought he's a terrific grass rider, which usually takes a lot longer to master, and he picked it up really, really quickly. He obviously had a great schooling under Tom Proctor and his crew when he was coming up, and I just think the sky's the limit for him. He's light, which helps. He doesn't have to worry about his weight. He watches his weight. He's really conscious about what he eats, but he's a naturally light rider, which is certainly a benefit for him. He's a really mature person for his age, and he's a terrific rider, so he's got all the tools.
You mentioned that Mike Smith picks up chasing yesterday. He also gets the debut call on that quality road colt, and you included Roadster in your preview. This is Speedway Stable, 5 1/4 as a September yearling, and bred by Arthur Hancock, working well, and there seems to be a increasingly loud buzz coming forward about Roadster.
Well, he's trained very well. I mean, the buzz started a few weeks ago when Baffert mentioned this horse. He was interviewed as he was leaving a popular restaurant that a lot of celebrities go to in Los Angeles, and TMZ Sports or TMZ hangs out at that restaurant to try and just catch people. And Baffert, I guess, is pretty recognizable to them with his shock of white hair. And so they had asked him about Justify, and they said, like, who's the next one? And he mentioned your next top prospect, and he mentioned Roadster then, and that started the wider buzz about this horse. But, I mean, he definitely is trained like he's got some quality. He didn't draw well on Sunday. He drew the rail. And as I was alluding to a few minutes ago, I mean, this race is loaded. Hollendorfer's got, speaking of him and Van Dyke, he's got an exchange rate colt named Gunmetal Gray that Hollendorfer owns in partnership with West Point that they bought as a 2-year-old in March at OBS. So, I mean, he's supposed to be good. Keith DeSormo has a number of forward 2-year-olds that we had talked about before the meet started. One of them had run already, a horse named Hefe. He was a fast finishing third in his debut and now gets another furlong to work with. He went 5/8 first time out, and now he'll go 6, and he drew the outside post. And Louis Mendez, who took over for John Brocklebank when he was suspended, has had a lot of success with precocious 2-year-olds, and he's got another one in this race, a Twirling Candy colt named Of Good Report. So this is a pretty loaded race, but Roadster is supposed to be very, very good. He didn't get the best of the draw for a first time out.
Well, Jay, let's touch on a couple of the themes that we've seen here in the first half dozen race days at Del Mar. And you mentioned Accelerate, who now looks like he'll stay home for the Pacific Classic. But we had a lot of fun with John Sadler the other day. That was quite a bait and switch with Catalina Cruiser.
Well, it really wasn't a bait and switch, Steve. I mean, for an allowance race, and it didn't go.
Right.
And so then it was like, all right, now what do we do? We sit on him for 3 weeks and hope that second level allowance goes, and if it doesn't, we've blown 3 more weeks. And so they basically decided the best course of action was just, he needed to run, and he needed to run now, and Accelerate's had a lot of races, and it was like, well, we could probably afford to skip this race if we have to. They didn't necessarily want to, but in terms of management of assets, and it helped that all these horses that they have are all owned by the Ronis brothers, that was the reason they decided to go with Catalina Cruiser in the San Diego. But, I mean, there was an allowance race in the book last Sunday that he was going to run in, but it didn't fill.
How good is he? Lightly raced and had his own way, but I think we were saying the same thing about Accelerate a year ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a different horse than Accelerate in terms of, like you say, he's lightly raced. He's only had now, that was only his third start. He's a four-year-old with only 3 starts. He's a huge colt. I mean, he's sort of very similar in stature to Justify. I mean, he's just a really imposing horse, and it just took him a while to get to the races, and yeah, he had a little setback after his debut and then had several months off before he won his debut as a three-year-old and then came back after a lengthy layoff and won an allowance race at 4 a couple of months ago and then went into the San Diego. But he looks like a horse you don't know what the ceiling's going to be with him. He's a horse who's trained very well. Saddle used to call him the best horse nobody knows about. Now they know that he's and he's run Fast Pigs his last couple of starts. I think 107 both in his second and third start. So he's he's very, very talented, and now he'll step up into Grade One company for his next start and see if he can and stretch out to a mile and an eighth. Most likely. I mean, he might go to the Woodward. He might just wait for the Awesome again. If something, God forbid, if there was a hiccup with Accelerate, maybe they'd even run him in the Pacific Classic. But at the moment, that's not the plan. The plan is to give him a little more time and run him in early to late September for his next start.
Well, that 107 Buyer, the only triple-digit fig, Jay, on the main track so far in the meet. Catapult on Sunday got 100, but that was, of course, in the Eddie Reed on the grass, the aforementioned Sadler and Drayden Van Dyke. Speaking about people knowing, had Leo Powell yesterday, so much fun to get him on the air and direct the spotlight toward him. Beach Views win in the Cougar 2. Soy Fett comes back again tomorrow. And Powell does a really good job.
Yeah, no, Leonard's got a nice touch with some of these long in the tooth horses. I mean, Beach View's 5. He's a mere pup compared to Soy Fett, who's a 10-year-old. I mean, the job he's done with Soy Fett is just tremendous. Claim the horse for $16,000 and won a million since and has been around for all these years and still in terrific form at this age. I mean, it's really a neat thing to watch. Beach View, that race came up okay. I mean, Opportunity was the big favorite, obviously. Opportunity's still effective at a certain level. He's not, he's good enough to run, to win the Brooklyn. He likes, I think, Eastern tracks better. This was the 4th time he's run at Del Mar, and it turned out to be the first time he's ever finished in the money. So it's just probably not his favorite place, and I think Beachview, it was an opportunistic spot, and he got a really savvy ride from Bejarano, saved ground and cut the corner, and went on to win it. So it was, it's been a nice last few weeks for Leonard.
Well, a nice weekend ahead, and unique Bella runs in the Hirsch on Sunday. Jay, I'm certainly not going to let you go without a survey of the 3 3-year-old events between now and Sunday afternoon at Oceanport. McCurlin here today, Jim Dandy tomorrow, Haskell Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking, there's, I think, of 18 horses, 18 entries in these races, comprising 17 individual horses with Re-Ride cross entered in the Curlin and Jim Dandy, and it'd be, make a heck of a race if it was one race. But it's, instead, you've got them all spread out with small fields. The most interesting race is obviously the Haskell on Sunday, because you've got Good Magic getting back in the ring after getting time off following the Preakness, and that was the stated plan with him coming out of the Derby, in which he ran a terrific race, come back in the Preakness, and then we're going to give him time off and not point for the Belmont, regardless of how he did in the Preakness. And he ran a courageous race in the Preakness, pressing a hot pace the whole way and yielding in the very late stages. And now he's had time off to train into this race, and a mile and an eighth is a perfect distance for him, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him get back in action and use this as a springboard onto the Traverse Stakes. Bravazo ran in all 3 Triple Crown races, which was, he's a real hardy horse, and he, to me, kind of reminds me of Will Take Charge in that way with Lucas, and I could certainly see him running another good race in the Haskell on Sunday. And then you've got the 2 races at Saratoga, like you said, the Curlin today with Hofburg, and this is obviously they're taking the path of least resistance, because the main goal with him is to have him at his absolute best for the Travers. And then the Jim Dandy tomorrow has a small field with the real Gutty Flame Away, who I just really admire. He's just a fun horse to watch, and Tenfold's certainly gotten good as the year's gone on. So, but of the 3 races, clearly the Haskell is the one that's the most enticing in terms of both quality and quantity.
Jay, when we get to Churchill for the Breeders' Cup, among these 3 races, and with Justify off into the sunset, who, aside from the fairly obvious when it comes to Hofburg and Good Magic, who wouldn't surprise you to emerge among the, the sort of miscellaneous 3-year-olds that might still have more upside to come here in the next 3 months?
Yeah, I don't know, Steve. I mean, 4 months ago, I thought this was going to be a really deep group of 3-year-olds, and it just seems like it largely fell apart. A number of the better prospects earlier this year got hurt and have either been retired or gone to the sidelines, like Audible. Yep. and Pletcher's Colt, who won the Arkansas Derby. So you've just got there's just a couple at the top here. So in terms of who's going to emerge as a late developing, for lack of a better term, a West Coast or an Arrogate type horse, I just don't see that this year. Do you?
No. I mean, to me, Tenfold and obviously a horse that placed in a classic shouldn't be a surprise, or to me, he has as much upside as Hofburg. I those are the two that I think will, will keep marching forward. And then, of course, Core Beliefs. What's wrong with the progress of Core Beliefs at this point in the year?
Nothing. I mean, Pete Ertens has got a number of 3-year-olds that are late developing and improving, and certainly he's the kind of horse who can continue to move forward. So, and he's got a couple others. So, but I just don't see a horse that's you know, to the question that I think you were positing, I mean,
yeah,
in terms of a horse that could be on the level of a West Coast or an Arrogate and just make this huge late season push and rattle off a race like the Travers after not being a known entity earlier in the year, and then be a prominent horse in a race like the Pennsylvania Derby, and a horse to look out for in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I just don't see any horse that sort of fits that mold right now.
No, fair enough, and we'll continue to watch. I mean, part of it, it's funny, we had this conversation last night at a function, Jay, and I made the suggestion that part of this vacuum is a number of horses heading off in the direction that their aptitudes call for, you know, whether it's the Firenze Fires going toward the Alan Jerkins. We'll see about Catholic Boy. I guess there's a lot of murmuring that he's going to try the Travers as opposed to the Secretariat, you know, the turf avenues for those that are meant that way. There's a lot of opportunities for these horses in other divisions.
Very much so. I mean, I do think you're going to see Catholic Boy in the Travers. I mean, the Travers is a jump ball right now. Now that justifies, no longer racing. Pending what happens this weekend. I mean, if Good Magic comes back even better than he left, without following the Preakness or something like that. But I kind of get it as to why the connections with Catholic Boy are entertaining, giving him a shot in a race like that. But you're right. I mean, Catholic Boy was given a chance to be of Derby quality earlier this year, and he couldn't quite do it at the time, and they went back to the grass, and that certainly has served him well, and his arch rival on grass analyzed it. I mean, he's a grass horse. And then you've got horses like Firenze Fire or Promises Fulfilled, who are turning back to distances that seem more suitable for who they are. And that contributes to not only these smaller fields this weekend, but just sort of the lack of what we were talking about, like the lack of depth at the top of this division now in terms of two-turn racing.
Well, a big weekend and the summer in full flight. And Jay, I appreciate it as always, the very careful following of Justify from early on, the unearthing and then the wild ride. See where we end up after these 3-year-olds run themselves this weekend, and then we'll start to turn our attention. We got West Virginia Derby next week too, next Saturday. So
yes, I mean, why not have another two-turn 3-year-old race on the East Coast to make it, what, 4 of them in an 8-day span? The more of them, I hear 5, do I hear 6? Let's dilute this pool even more.
Jay Pribman, everybody. DRF Pribman, and keep tabs on Jay and Steve Anderson and Brad Free and the West Coast team for the Daily Racing Forum, right on top of everything at Del Mar. Jay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good weekend.
You too. I love it. He's got a point. Between Friday, today, and a week from Saturday, the West Virginia Derby, we're spreading that frosting a little thin on the cupcake. Let's take a timeout. We come back. James Scully and little capping action. We'll get into the slate here with him. And always great to add James's opinions. Look at that stake sequence here at the Spa. And the Jim Dandy, just part of an excellent card. You got the Vanderbilt, got a grade one here we haven't even referenced yet, and the Amsterdam, speaking of the 3-year-olds, and you got the familiar names. I mentioned them yesterday. Some of these are horses, of course, that tried the longer distances. World of Trouble tried the Tampa Bay Derby before turning back to the Woody Stevens, and of course Strike Power, second in the Fountain, then the Florida Derby, but he's refocused. Yeah, promises fulfilled, of course. You know that storyline ran so hard in the Woody Stevens at just an insane pace. So, a nice group. And the Vanderbilt? Did everybody, did Andy end up answering that trivia question? Did everybody figure out what the unusual element of the Vanderbilt was? No? Field of seven. And not one, technically, not one, was a New York-based horse. That's the craziest thing ever. Switzerland, Petrov, Warriors Club, Imperial Hint, Sweet on the Ladies, Mr. Crow, and Done Deal. No New York runners. And the Bowling Green. Venerable Bowling Green. There's a trivia question. Where is Bowling Green? And I'm not talking about the famous massacre. Bowling Green. Lower Manhattan. That'd be interesting to find out what the motivation, what the origin actually of why they named a steak after Bowling Green. Interesting. We'll try to find out. Back after this with Scully.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olczyk. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses, we build racehorses.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Vick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Vick.
We're back. Hour two. We'll call it hour two. Close enough. And happy to get James Scully in to visit. As I mentioned, Nick on his way to Del Mar. And James, certainly a able handicapping replacement. We're going to have to wait a moment on Scully. And so we'll glance at some other. There we are. Okay, don't have to wait that minute at all on Scully. He's with us now. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Excellent. And want to bounce around and talk a little Monmouth and a little Saratoga and get some opinions, but let's get an overview first. What's your early impressions when it comes to Del Mar and Saratoga, Ellis and, as well? Where's your money been gravitating?
Well, I mean, one thing about Del Mar is that we've seen, I mean, yesterday I thought the played more fair, but we've seen some days where just like the inside hasn't been favorable on the main track. I mean, horses are breaking from the rail, haven't fared well in sprints, and it really sort of creates an opportunity perhaps bet some horses back later in the meet that broke from inside one on a day when the outside was the best part of the track, best place to be, you know, breaking from. So, you know, that's been one take on Del Mar. I mean, obviously this week with the rain, Saratoga, yesterday's track, six of the nine races went wire to wire. So, you know, hoping it'll dry out some for the weekend, but we'll see how that works its way out. A lot of rain on the East Coast.
Well, and the best part of it, you have to suffer through, you know, some chopped up fields and some off turf and this and that. But the upside is these turf courses, especially the way the jocks sometimes approach the races, it's nice to have cut in the ground and have a surface that doesn't absolutely aid the front runners, because when they go unaccosted, you know, it gets unfair.
It was real. I mean, they were watering the course every day before the meet started. I mean, it didn't rain for weeks up there. So yeah,
Watering
in that respect,
watering doesn't do it. And for the you know, for people say, well, they can water. They can leave those sprinklers on for 36 straight hours. It is not going to do, down to the root system, what soaking rains do. It keeps the grass green, just like on your lawn, but it's not going to change, you know, the cut in the ground. The sprinklers just cannot do it. It has to be from the clouds. So no rainbows without rain. The cards are just dynamite everywhere you look, James. We got a terrific slate tomorrow, particularly at Saratoga. And then on Sunday, I would really, in addition, of course, to Monmouth with Haskell Day, the Del Mar card is terrific. And we've got big maiden races everywhere you look. And Ellis, of course, folds into that as well. So let's dive in and get some ideas.
Yeah.
Start where you want.
Winning your end races out of Del Mar, Bing Crosby and Cremont Hirsch, and then the Haskell, you know, with Justify's retirement, you know, his absence does create an opportunity, you know, for the three-year-olds to step up in the second half of the season. And most of the main principals are in action over the next 3 days, you know, with the exception of Gronkowski and Boldoro, really. Hofberg's in the Jim Dandy today, and you know, he shows a 47-4 work at Oklahoma, you know, recently, which just like looks so, you know, looks dynamite. And you got to think he's really got that group over the barrel. On Saturday, Tenfold and Vino Rosso in the Jim Dandy, and that race, even though it's a short field, looks like it, you know, could have a little bit of a contested pace. Flame Away, Sporty Chance, you know, it's just easy to envision Tenfold and Vino Rosso being in position, turning for home to win that race. And then four main runners in the Haskell, you know, Good Magic, Bravazo, and Lone Sailor all competed in multiple Triple Crown events. And, you know, Core Beliefs has a look of an up-and-coming three-year-old coming off his first stakes win in the Ohio Derby. So, yeah, really going to, you know, these races can shake out a little bit, the Travers picture, you know, for later in the meet in Saratoga.
Now, let's take a look.
All right. Well, at Saratoga, I'll whip right through the four graded stakes. You know, then Amsterdam really kicks off the graded action, 6.5 furlongs. And you know, once again, we get a matchup in there between Promises Fulfilled and Strike Power and World of Trouble. All three are back from the Woody Stevens. And, you know, while the potential was there for Promises Fulfilled to shake loose, you know, from the inside post and potentially steal it, the race just really looks to set up favorably for Engage, who I thought moved a little bit early in that Woody Stevens, but still ran a really big race for second, finished a clear second in there. And, you know, he looks like the one to beat in the Amsterdam. The next race up is the Vanderbilt. And I was a little disappointed to not see that CZ Pocket. Yeah, the Roman's horse not go in there. But we do get Imperial Hint, who, along with Roy H., top contender for this year's sprint. And, you know, he's clearly the horse to beat in there. I'm willing to go against Switzerland from the inside, stepping up, but you got to respect him. You know, he's got a, you know, we've seen with Asmussen this year where he's had B Jersey come along and some others. So, you know, he's got a he's looking to step up in Grade One company and make an impact. I will point out a horse in there that is a little intriguing to me with and that is Petrov. He might not be good enough to win, but he came to Saratoga last year and really ran about, you know, off of, you know, like three or four unplaced finishes in a row and really ran a big allowance race, getting a 103 Brisk Speed rating from us, winning by four lengths. Switzerland faces some pressure up front from Dundeal. You know, the race could set up for Petrov to maybe finish, hit the board, run a big race.
Well, and Moquette got on the board the first weekend. Warriors Club back Saratoga. Mm-hmm. It's got two board hits, and there'll be a big crowd.
Oh, yeah, he ran a good race last year in that Amsterdam Warriors Club.
Sure did.
Yeah. The Bowling Green, I mean, that's the best. I mean, it has the biggest field in the sequence, nine horses in there. Obviously, High Happy and Sadler's Joy, second and third, or in the Manhattan, are back in there. And the main principals, High Happy, the potential for a favorable front-running trip, you know, in a race that doesn't have a lot of pace. But I am intrigued by a bigger picture, you know, because to me, he's, you know, 8-1. He's going to be third or fourth choice. And, you know, this will be his fifth appearance on the Saratoga turf. But last year, he was a neck second in the Bowling Green and a half length third in the Sword Dancer. And his third start back, he ran over the same mile and an eighth, 1 3/8 mile trip on inner turf and won by two lengths over allowance rivals. So, you know, he likes the turf. Comes off an encouraging effort where he really got on track in late in the stretch in that UN and finished full of run to blow by those horses, you know, after the wire. So he's one to you know, definitely consider for your multi-race wagers in the Bowling Green bigger picture.
Yeah, it's a very nice addition of the race. Gets us to the Jim Dandy.
Yeah, and the Jim Dandy, I mean, it's a short field with only five, but you've got Flame Away from the inside and, you know, 40 chance firm running winner of the hopeful and maiden race last year. I expect him to show speed. So, you know, and even Rewrite could be a little bit forward off of, you know, going back, going turf to dirt. So, I mean, it's not expected a fast pace, but it could be contested. And, you know, I'm going to give the edge to Tenfold. You know, he didn't make his debut till February, won that allowance race, second time out, won his first two starts at two turns, and then they threw him in the Arkansas Derby. And while it didn't turn out well for him there, really moved forward off that effort in the Preakness. And in the Belmont Stakes, I just thought he was too far back. And when he was making a mild move on the far turn, Santana had the opportunity to go to the inside, which is the exact path that Gronkowski came rolling through. And instead, he angled him out, and it completely stopped him. I mean, completely checked, and his race was over. I mean, he wasn't going to offer a serious challenge, but he could have maybe been third. And so, you know, I'm gonna look for him to move forward off that race, move forward off that 50-day freshening. I think he still has a lot of upside, and he's still developing for Asmussen. So I like Tenfold and the Jim Dandy.
I like Tenfold as well, and I like him going forward, too. I think he's... I just had this conversation with Jay Privman, and I think there's a lot to like going into the fall. Let's end it to Travers. Turn our attention to Sunday. A couple of thoughts about the Haskell and anything else at Monmouth.
Well, in the Haskell, you know, I mean, Good Magic is the horse to beat. Everybody's discussed, and, you know, they've been pointing him for this race ever since he ran second in the Derby and fourth in the Preakness. This has been the target. And, you know, while he'll be just a beat in there, I'm a little bit intrigued by, I'm going to give the edge to Lone Sailor, Steve. And I really think that Lone Sailor, you know, turned the corner this spring for Asmussen, and, you know, when he, you know, ran second to Noble Indy in the Louisiana Derby, came back. You know, he's actually really run well in three of his last four starts. The only exception was the Kentucky Derby, where he was eighth. Came back in the Preakness, got on track late there to be beat two lengths. And then in that Ohio Derby, it was a little bit reminiscent of the Louisiana Derby, in that Lone Sailor made his move, struck the front and in the stretch, and then got nailed late on the wire by Core Belief. So, you know, that's still a real encouraging effort. He's got the potential for an inside ground-saving trip. And, you know, you have some, like, horses in here, Navy Commander coming off a wire-wire win, and Roaming Union could be Ford, and even Core Belief has some tactical speed. So, and you never know, Bravazo, you know, at times we've seen him show speed like he did in that Risen Star where he was chasing the pace earlier this year. So, you know, Lone Sailor, he's won off slow paces as well, and I just think he could be poised for a good effort, and it's going to offer the value in Sunday's Haskell.
Any other thoughts on that card?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, you know, like in the match, you know, I'm just, you know, just looking at the stake action. I mean, that gets started with the, hold on a second.
That didn't sound good. I think, Case, did you lose? I think we lost Scully. No? Casey? Yes? I think, yeah, that's what I thought. All right. Then, no, you got him back? well, got to do it quick, because Frank Miramonti is threatening that if he doesn't come on soon, he will have to go to Monmouth today without showering, and I don't know if I want to be responsible for that. So it's a tough call. There's James. He's
iPad,
back.
So
there. You dropped your iPad.
Yeah,
nice.
I got an OtterBox on it. It's big, it's live. But yeah, I dropped it. So sorry.
No problem. All right. Well, real quick, because Miramonti says if he doesn't come on, he's going to have to go to the track without a shower. It's not
I'll
right.
Get my two horses on the undercard I like are Burned and the Bali Pitcher for Grand Motion, and Special Event in the Matchmaker for Shug McGahee. I think that Special Event is the latest up-and-coming turf, you know, graded turf caliber horse for Shug.
Yeah.
All of her best races are in front of her, and I think Trevor McCarthy is going to benefit from that experience riding her last time, looking for a real big effort from Special Event.
I liked her, too. I thought she kind of jumped off the page.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, James, I appreciate it, and there'll be write-ups.
And you guys mentioned those maidens of Baffert's, right, at Del Mar, chasing yesterday on Saturday and Roadster on Sunday. Both those, I mean, really intriguing first-time starters, a filly, half-sister to American Pharoah, and then the quality road colt.
Very much so. I'm looking forward to racing coast-to-coast. James, we'll watch for the Twin Spires blog roll. James Scully, Brisnet.
Thanks, Dave. Great
appreciate weekend. It. You too. Let's take a break quick and get to Frank Miramati and go through the action from his perspective. He held sway yesterday during the draw and put the field together. Frank Miramati joins us from Monmouth after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Don't wait for promises, Marina. They can't be measured up enough. You weigh your hat too heavy. That's why you fumble when you walk. Yeah.
Back at the races, coming up on 20 into hour two and coming into Haskell weekend. Fast Times on the Jersey Shore and down to Oceanport we go. Frank Miramati joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, my man. I was ready to start dancing. There was so much music going on there.
That's us. That's our thing.
Love it.
Well, we loved watching you. Yesterday, you were ready to assign slots to the seven runners in the Haskell without even a draw.
Is that good or what? Well, how about, I heard the word, I heard the number seven. John Hines said seven, and I said number seven. And he said, no, we're confirming that there's seven in there. So that's a good idea because we don't need any revisits of the pill that will never be forgotten. And actually, the first number he pulled after all that? Seven.
Exactly. Exactly. That was I got a big kick out of it. And speaking of our music, Golden Brown got that seven. And Patrick McBurney, who went down to Delaware and won the Kent and now goes back to the dirt with him. You've got the Derby runner-up in here, of course. Good Magic and Bravazo participated in all three races. Lone Sailor on the rail and gets Joe Bravo, who I think will suit. The Ohio Derby winner, Core Beliefs, Roaming Union for local storyline, George Hall and Kelly Breen, and Butchie Reed with the Long Branch winner. It's a fun group of seven.
It really is, and I'm going to give your audience a lot of insight here. I like Good Magic in this spot, so I know you needed a special guest to come with some, a gem for you. But a buddy of mine and I, we call these horses movie horses because, let's face it, if you get involved in screen-to-screen all over the place, at the end of the day, you'll be like Tommy Hearns, flat as a pancake in that Hagler fight. So you have to pick your spots, theoretically. This is, of course, all in theory. The horse like Good Magic, we used to say, listen, go to the track in the morning, bet on Good Magic, go to the movies, enjoy your day, come back and collect later. On paper, how can this horse possibly lose this race is the way I see it. I mean, I'm an opinionated guy. I'll be open-minded during the race, but this thing goes right through Good Magic. He's supposed to take care of this field.
Agreed. And you do have at least the mix and match when it comes to some faces and some styles that kind of jump in here. And I think Core Beliefs, when you're looking for, just had this conversation with Jay Pribman, you're looking for horses that, that may be on the come. And frankly, who knows what Golden Brown is coming back to the dirt after, the June and July tries on the grass. I mean, the Jersey bred could, just be getting right at the right time. Bravazo is Bravazo. And I keep coming back to Lone Sailor. And I think he and Good Magic kind of come together late.
I was with you at the beginning. I like Core Beliefs as the second play. If I was to try to give you the exact in my opinion, I think Core Beliefs, he's a horse that is developing. He's, as you just mentioned, he's just right up. That big move that he made in the Peter Pan, I thought he was home. I think a lot of people did. And that's the horse I think finishes second here. I really don't think that Good Magic will have any difficulty. I cannot hold anything against Lone Sailor. He got beat in the nose in a tremendous effort last time, and Joe Bravo is riding so well right now. His percentage, you look at his percentage over the last period of time, has been outstanding. He's really on his game, and he's just got such a good attitude. He's always smiling, and no matter where you are, he's just always engaging, and these things translate to feeling good and doing well. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lone Sailor ran well, but to me, it's all about Good Magic and his opportunity to take that step forward. I happen to like Golden Brown quite a bit in the Kent, as did Kenny Peck. Let's give him a little love for picking him on top in that race. I don't know about him coming back so quickly and going back to the dirt. I think he might be a very good turf horse. I just don't see him being able to come back 2 weeks later against these top three-year-olds in this spot. But I love the connection and certainly hope that they run well in this spot.
Let's work backwards, Frank, on this sequence. And you got the turf sprint, the Wolf Power coming out of the chute. And this is a part of the match series. And got some some nice, hard-hitting turf sprinters in here.
No question. I think this race is going to handle a lot of money. Look for this race to handle near $1 million in action. This is going to be a big race from the standpoint of it's late in the day. It's right before the Betfair.com Haskell. I like a horse named Dubini. I absolutely loved him in that Penn National race, and I thought he was coming to pick up Oak Bluffs. Oak Bluffs and Dubini, I've enjoyed calling both of them several times over this course, but Dubini loves this course, just eats it up very well. I'm going to throw out his last race and look for him to come sailing by them all late, but you can make a case for so many in here. Who do you like?
there's nothing wrong with Dubini, and I'm a Kate DeMasi fan, and absolutely respect the, undoubtedly. What about Joe O in Primus?
That's there's no question. This race, a lot of people are going to have the all but. There's no question that that this race you're going to get paid. I love lightly raced horses, and so there's really nothing wrong with this horse whatsoever. Coming back out of a Grade One, back to reality where he was undefeated. So, and he's got good tactical speed, and he can kick. It's really going to come down to pace, trips. I just know one thing: if Dubini's in striking range late, look out. That boy can really motor the last 16th here over this course. I've seen him do it a few times.
Oh, there's a nice mix. There's plenty of speed parties. Pool Winner will want to be up front, undoubtedly. From the inside, Ned Allard, Abiding Star, the veteran Gelding, has won a third of his 27 starts. Mikey Farrow, Bold Thunder, for Andrew Sully. This is a really fun group. Kind of gathered up all the Mid-Atlantic turf sprinters in here, and exactly. It should be
And by the way, we
fun.
Missed Joe Orsino quite a bit here on the scene at Monmouth Park. It's not quite the same without Joey O here every day.
Well, he'll be there, and it might be a winner's circle cameo. Let's talk about the Oceanport, the Grade 3, mile and a 16th, and Irish Straight. Here's Mrs. De Tomaso. You can't run a Haskell Day without a Haskell daughter or two.
No question. I love this horse. As a fan, I love him. I believe Synchrony will beat him, but he loves this course. And last time out, that was the race where Golden Brown was making his turf debut, and he came flying late and really caught my eye that day. But Irish Straight had that race at all times. He always looks well. This is the third race of the year for him off the bench. He ran that incredible race against Force the Pass. One thing about Irish Straight, if you bet on him in this race, you're going to be feeling good most of the way because he always travels so smoothly. I just think Synchrony has improved significantly since they met before. I think it's those two myself.
The Monmouth Cup, mile and an eighth, and you want to talk venerable, Paige McKenney. Back to Monmouth, you got Zanotti, who is, we just had Marshall Graham on the show on Wednesday, and 10 Strike Racing. Alan Goldberg and Rich Santulli, name changer, has been also down to Delaware for the Hanford. This got the Doug Anderson visiting from Prairie Meadows with the Cornhusker winner, Remembering Rita. Just six, but good.
Someone who will never forget Remembering Rita is our man Ron Pellucci of Luch Racing, because that was a bad beat for him. Poor guy. I had to run into that fight with Delmar the other day.